Yes. We're back again. Episode 2 of Excuse My Tone. It's me, Rico Kowalski, with my co-host,
Justin DeFoo.
And to his right, Brendan Lessie. What's going on?
So we're back again. We're going to start it off like this. We got our Super Bowl predictions because the Super Bowl's this weekend. And I'm going with Atlanta. I don't know about these guys, but I just think Atlanta's going to win. And I say that because this whole year has been the year of the underdog cities. We had Chicago winning baseball. We had Cleveland win. All these cities that had a long drought, I think Atlanta's going to pull it out. I'm not rocking with.
You're not going to pause that? Okay, never mind.
Pause.
Thank you.
But what y'all think?
I agree with you. I got Atlanta winning, but I don't necessarily consider it underdog, the underdog season yet. I agree, you know, I can't disagree with what you just said. I'm just going to base it on the year Atlanta had. My scores are, I'm going to lower it now. You know, last week I said 38-34 Atlanta. I do think it's going to be a slug out in terms of offensive juggernaut type of game. I'll say 30-26 Atlanta tonight.
I forgot to give my score. I'm going to say Atlanta's winning 42-38.
Oh yeah? College football games?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. No defense on the
offense
field?
Offense flying today.
Okay. Well, I'm not agreeing with you guys. Because
you're different.
Nah, because y'all, what y'all saying? It's trash. All right? First off, I'm going to get my score out the way.
There's a Jets fan.
I'm a Jets fan.
That's not anything to do with anything what's going on right now?
Nothing to do with what's going on right now.
Thank you. All right? Let me get my score out the way. Patriots 31, Falcons 28. I think it's going to be a close game. I think Tom Brady is going to be with the ball last. He's going to lead the Patriots down the field. And we're going to have a field goal win. End of the triple zeros on the clock. And that'll be the game.
I disagree.
Excuse me. I'm not done yet. Thank you. Did you get the chance to finish what you had to say?
Excuse your tone.
So it's my turn.
Excuse your tone,
sir.
Excuse your tone.
All right. So I just think 2 weeks for Brady and Belichick to prepare, and the Falcons not having a D-line to really put pressure on Brady and really drive through the A-gap to really make him nervous whenever you're – because he gets nervous whenever you're around his feet, whenever you're trying to hit him because he's not very mobile. So if you really close that pocket or you bust through that pocket that he has – I think he doesn't have as good of a game, and I don't think Atlanta's D-line could put the pressure that they need to do that. And if they start blitzing, he's going to tear them apart. So I think we'll find out what's going on next week. Somebody's going to get belittled for their predictions next week, and it's not going to be me. All right?
Yeah, you can stay there with your little confidence.
Whatever. Anyway, on to the next one. I know you've heard this topic on probably every sports show over the last week. And it's our duty to bring it to you again because we have our own opinions on it. LeBron James comments on about Charles Barkley, and you know, do we think they were, you know, what am I trying to say? Do we think that they were appropriate for how Charles Barkley originally talked about LeBron? All right, so I'm just going to go over LeBron's comments real quick so everybody knows what's going on. All right, he's a hater. What makes what he says credible? Because he's on TV? I'm not going to let him disrespect my legacy like that. I'm not the one who threw somebody through a window. I never spit on a kid. I never had an unpaid debt in Las Vegas. I never said, I'm not a role model. I never showed up to the All-Star weekend on Sunday because I was in Vegas all weekend partying. All I've done for my entire career is represent the NBA the right way. 14 years. Never got in trouble. Respected the game. Print that. And later, LeBron summed up his feelings even more bluntly by saying, "Screw Charles Barkley." Now, this all stemmed from a Thursday night Inside the NBA show where Shaq, Ernie, Kenny, and Charles were talking about LeBron's original comments about his need for a playmaker. And Charles just outright said, "I don't think LeBron likes to compete. He doesn't think he likes to compete. He doesn't think that he should be requesting for a playmaker when your team has the highest cap salary in the league with roughly $127 million on the cap and that's around $33 million over the cap that they have to pay in luxury tax. So he doesn't feel that he should be whining about needing a playmaker when your GM, your owner, has gone out and they've spent the money on your team, and he doesn't understand why you need to go out to the media and say, I need a playmaker. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I think LeBron James is out of line. I think Charles Barkley, even though he may have attacked him personally, it was still under the guidelines of basketball, and he was talking basketball. LeBron James said a comment about needing a playmaker to the media, and he's referring to basketball stuff, his team. Charles Barkley went out there, listened to the comments, and made his and said his own opinion about LeBron James under the basketball umbrella and what he thought was going on. He never discredited LeBron's legacy. He said right then and there that he thinks he's the best player in the world right now. It's not even close. He's been the best player in the world for the last 10 years. He openly said that on the same episode while he was talking. And for LeBron to just, I don't know, study Charles Barkley Wikipedia page like he had an exam on it the next day, and to come up with all this stuff that Charles Barkley's done over the years, which I might say, Charles Barkley did spit on the kid, but he wasn't aiming for the kid. That's the story. He was aiming for somebody else. So I'll just put that out there. Wasn't aiming for the kid. I landed on the kid. Wasn't aiming for the kid. But, you know, I think LeBron went too personal with it. It was unnecessary. And, you know, it really just shows how small of a guy or a man he actually really is to have to address Charles Barkley's comments in that manner. I don't know what you guys think, but I'll let you all speak first. Was it Rico, you going first? Or second,
I should say. I agree with what you're saying somewhat. I don't think LeBron should have, like you said, Wikipedia Charles Barkley and brought up all those other nonsense that he did in his past. Everybody got skeletons. But I'm not going to agree with you by saying that Charles Barkley was right. Yeah, he said he was whiny, which he was, which is fine. But LeBron could have easily could just... I'm bugging out. LeBron was like going back at him, which he should. He's right. But he didn't have to take it to that personal route. He could have said something about how he doesn't know how to win rings or something. Like Shaq said. Shaq was like, LeBron, Charles doesn't know how to go back to back. And he's right, because he doesn't have one ring. He doesn't, much less two. So LeBron is just telling the media and telling his owners what they need, what he feels like they need to get him to another championship.
Thank you. Let me interrupt you real quick, because I like what you just said there. LeBron is telling the owners and his GM and his front office what he needs through the media. Why?
Okay, yes, he was wrong about going about it through the media.
If you go through the media, Charles Barkley, as an analyst, we, as we're allowed to call ourselves analysts now, as we're doing this podcast, is allowed to say something on something you comment on that you say in the media. And that's where LeBron effed up. And he needs to take what Charles Barkley said and just deal with it and be a man. Stop.
Why? Why? The man said he's not trying to compete. As an athlete, that's the last thing you want to hear.
I'm sure that was one of the keywords that really got him upset.
Okay, so go back at him.
But not like this.
I'm agreeing with you on that. He didn't have to say all that personal stuff.
I've never seen.
But you got to go back at him.
But why is it that he wants to go back at Charles? I've never seen him go back at Skip Bayless. I've never seen him go back at Stephen A. Smith. Max Kellerman, none of these guys, especially Skip Bayless, who used to dog him day in and day out. He never went back at him. You gotta let this stuff roll on the shoulders, because you feeling yourself, you smelling yourself.
Have any of those guys that you named, Skip, Max,
go ahead,
have any of them ever said that this man does not want to compete? They have never said that. Charles Barkley, as a former athlete, said this man does not want to compete. Why? Why? Because he's in the East, and I'm sure LeBron is not looking at anybody in the East. He's trying to compete with Kevin Durant and with Steph Curry.
He needs to be watching his own team, and he's worried about what other teams are doing, and that's why he's begging for a playmaker.
But if you know your competition, why not go at him?
Listen,
why not try to find somebody to beat your competition? You want to take a risk? If I know I need somebody else, I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, let's just go take a risk.
Why do they need a playmaker? Who left? Dellavedova, right?
Okay.
Okay, Mozgov left. That's why Tristan Thompson was getting bodied by DeMarcus Cousins the other night. Okay. Because they are undersized at the center position, right? Why did they have to leave?
because they didn't have enough money to pay them.
Oh, and why didn't they have enough money to pay them?
But that has nothing to do with
LeBron. LeBron's not the GM. It's BS. He's not the GM. You're the player. You might be the best player in the world. You might be the best player on your team, but you're not the GM. So when you go out of your way to make sure that your agent, who is also the agent for Tristan Thompson, that Tristan Thompson gets paid maybe close to triple what he deserves. The man is making $80 million. For what? All he does is rebound. He's not a defender. Doesn't block shots. Doesn't steal the ball. And he damn sure doesn't score. The man doesn't know which hand he wants to shoot free throws with, right or left. He's very confused. So you want to get this guy overpaid. You want to get JR paid $50-something million, and now you have no cap room for you to
okay, so pay you said, so for you your said LeBron's playmaker. Not the GM, right? But he is the superstar.
What you does that mean?
Make your superstar angry?
Yes, I do.
Why?
I do.
Why?
Because he the
two. We've seen LeBron for years. You think he plays better when he's angry?
Yes.
Because I don't.
I do.
I don't.
I do. Because every time somebody likes to heckle LeBron from the crowd, he goes off.
That's the crowd.
That's angry.
As the GM, you don't want to make that man angry.
You have to show some respect for the stars, but as the star, you need to show some respect for your front office, all right? And this has to be somewhere where you need to draw the line. LeBron's not the GM. Let me run my team the way I need to.
So as the GM, you draw that line. You say, I'm not going to pay that man. They gave in and they paid him. What you going to do now? He's still got to voice his opinion.
Yeah, and he decided to voice his opinion in media.
So?
He's supposed to be a veteran. He's supposed to know better than
he
that.
He was wrong about that. Fine, that's done.
That's done. When you do that, you allow people like Charles Barkley to comment on what they think about you. And if they want to say they don't think that you like to compete, so be it. Okay. Roll off your shoulders and go do your job.
As a competitor, I'm going to go back at him.
Listen, I'm
going to
let you know, Charles Barkley isn't losing sleep. Because he was doing his job.
I'm sure.
LeBron James is the only one, looks to me, that he's losing sleep, that he has to go.
I doubt he is.
Well, you know,
I think he's defending himself.
When you got to go do research on a dude, because I know LeBron James doesn't know all that stuff about Charles
Barkley. I'm sure it didn't take that long.
But the fact that you even got to go do research means something that you care enough that you got to go do research. So if you care enough, it's bothering you.
Because he said he's not willing to compete. That's calling someone's character out.
Listen, show me on the court that you want to compete, then stop talking this nonsense about you need a playmaker, man.
So LeBron,
you first in the East.
LeBron doesn't show you on the court every night?
His mouth is showing me something different, man.
How?
Because he's chatting about he needs a playmaker. Are they not first in the East?
So what? I can't tell you what my team needs?
Are they not first in the East?
What does that matter?
Are they not first in the East?
Is there not room for improvement? Is there not room for improvement?
Golden State Warriors have room for improvement. Every team has room for improvement.
Exactly. Why can't he voice that opinion?
He's not an all-star team, man.
Wouldn't you want to make it an all-star team? Wouldn't you want to make it the best product that you could put out?
Sounds like he ain't trying to compete, man. That's what it sounds like to me.
Justin, what you say about this? Because we're just going to go back and forth.
Yeah, I 100% agree with Akeem. Just like how Charles Barkley is entitled to his opinion, so is LeBron entitled to his opinion. Regardless to me,
what
of where he took it. I keep it honest with you.
His opinion on what? His opinion that he needs a playmaker, or his opinion that Charles Barkley is a dirtbag?
Honestly, the simple fact that Charles Barkley is a dirtbag.
Why does he need to voice that?
Let me speak.
Is that his job, or is LeBron James a player?
Go ahead. You know, you talk about Skip Bayless and all these guys that have comments on LeBron. Let's keep it real. Did they play basketball? No. They're commentary.
Did we play basketball?
LeBron's not coming at us.
I'm just saying.
I'm just simply saying, from a basketball player to another basketball player, I feel when you comment on someone, they take from athlete to athlete. If an athlete comments on me, I will take it personally.
Exactly.
You're talking about my credibility. You have no championships.
You're taking it personally, and you going personal is two different things. Yes, Charles Barkley has no championships, along with a lot of stars who have MVPs during the era of Michael Jordan. And you know what? If LeBron James was playing in that era, he would have zero MVP. He would have zero championships.
You don't know
also.
That.
No, I do know that. It's not what if. I'm guaranteeing it. He might have rings.
That's what if to me, B. That's what
it's
if.
Cool.
That's what if.
Go ahead. I can give you a list of all-stars, MVPs that played in the Jordan era that did not win a ring because they had to go through Michael Jordan and they couldn't do it. All right?
Okay, there's a lot of people in the East who's not getting to the championship because they got to go through LeBron James.
That's very true, but I'm not going to dog Charles Barkley because he wasn't able to get a ring. And it's not necessary.
But that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying LeBron was right for saying all that personal stuff. He was wrong for that. But you still got to defend yourself against him. You can't just let him talk all crazy saying that you're not willing to compete.
Well, you know what? I think we're agreeing 50-50. Halfway, I should say.
But that's how I started my argument.
Because I don't understand why he had to take it there. That's my issue.
He didn't have to take it there. That's okay. What I'm saying.
But you feel like he had to say something.
Yes.
I don't mind him saying anything, but, you know, there's ways in where you want to take it. And if you're going to take it that way, then I don't know. I got to look at you as less of a man if that's the way you got to go with it to defend yourself. You got to belittle another person to defend yourself.
Agreed.
All right.
He was wrong about that, but you still got to defend yourself. Don't let nobody call you out on your character on the court. LeBron puts it down every single night. And for somebody who doesn't play, who's not playing anymore, and a former athlete himself, to say that he's not competing because he wants a better team, he wants to put out a better product. As a superstar, you should always want to put out a better product, man.
All I'm saying is that you're number one in the East. You just won a championship. I know you see that open roster spot on your team, and you like, Dan Gilbert promised that he would do everything, he would fill it, you know? And I don't know if you feel like the front office is not really living behind what they said they were going to do, but I think they have. And I don't think it was necessary for him to go into the media and say what he said about needing a playmaker. And because of that, Charles Barkley is allowed to say whatever he wants. Now, he may have been disrespectful saying he don't want to compete. LeBron looks like he competes every night. I'm not going to hold him to it. But that was Charles Barkley's opinion as an analyst. And if LeBron wants to defend himself, he needs to do it with a little bit more respect and stop taking lowballing him like that.
Let me ask you a question real quick. Let's go into the future. LeBron makes the finals against whoever's in the West, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they lose. As analysts, don't you think we're going to say, oh, if they had this, or what if they did this? Why are we saying that LeBron is wrong for just trying to prevent us from doing that?
I'm going to tell you, if Cavs go to the finals and they lose, you're not going to hear me say, wow, they were really missing Matthew Dellavedova, man. That's crazy. They could have, if they just had a playmaker off the bench, they would have been in the series. I'm not going to say that. That's not what it's going to happen. It's going to really come down. Shaq keeps on talking about the others. Yeah, the others are there to hit a big shot here and there. Robert Horry, Steve Kerr, Ray Allen, whoever. But your stars is who bring you your rings. That's why I disagree with Shaq. And in the playoffs and the finals, it's star time. And that's why last finals, when Kyrie and LeBron dropping 40 and 40, it's not Matthew Dellavedova handing out assists here and there. It's these boys dropping 40 and 40.
The Cavs also didn't just score 80 points. So the others matter.
I never said it didn't matter. I just said it's not going to be the reason why I'm going to say the Cavs lost if they go to the finals this year.
Okay, and nobody says Steve Kerr is the reason why Chicago won the championship.
But that's my point. You're saying are we going to look back and be like, oh, if the Cavs had done this, I'm not going to look back and say if they had brought a playmaker that they would have won. That's not going to be what I said. I'm more likely going to critique one of the stars' performances in the finals. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
All right. Let's move on to the next topic. This is for Justin's, because since he requested it, I got some numbers for him. So Jay, go ahead, man.
Switching up the topics from basketball. Some things happened last week, tennis wise, in the Australian Open. Federer got his 18th Grand Slam, and Serena Williams won her 23rd Grand Slam in this Open era. You know, for these guys, I kind of wanted to kind of talk about what does it mean to tennis in terms of Federer winning his 18th Grand Slam and Serena winning her 23rd. Obviously, Serena is second in Grand Slams with 23. So far, we're going to talk about the women's side for now. She has 6 U.S. Opens, 7 Australian Opens, 7 Wimbledons, and 3 French. She beat her sister, Venus, for her 23rd, and to me it was an awesome moment. The crowd, you know, everyone cheered. They mentioned her as, you know, the most winningest woman in Grand Slams. So let's talk a little bit about her legacy, guys. You know, what do you think she's done for tennis?
I just think that we should give a round of applause to her. I watched that match. I watched that match live. It was a great match. They were going.
Why are you lying? I know you were sleeping, bro.
Nah, I was up. I was up at 3 in the morning. Okay. All right, boy.
All right.
Also with Federer, that was another great match. I'm a tennis fan. A lot of people in America don't really watch tennis because it's not one of the major sports. But the dominance that these two people have shown is amazing to me. And I just want to clap it up for them one time.
All right, well, let me start off with Serena real quick. You know, with this win in the Australian Open, she broke her tie with Steffi Graf, which is 22 single majors, to go to 23 single majors in the Open era. And she's right behind Margaret Court, who has 24 majors. Now, honestly, how I see it, I think she ties up with Margaret Court at Wimbledon, and then she breaks it at the U.S. Open. So by the end of the year, at the end of the tennis season, she should have 25 and be the leading lady for singles majors in the Open era. You know, Serena being, 35? In tennis, she's 5 years past her prime. But I think we all know that she's still in her prime from the way she's playing. She is a beast. She's amazing. In my eyes, I think she's the best female tennis player that we've seen ever. And when she gets this Open era majors titles all-time record, it'll be undeniable that's what's going on. You know, it's a shame that Venus wasn't able to compete for some more titles after being diagnosed with an autoimmune disease that she had. And I think that we're watching some of the best women's tennis that we've seen, but we might have been, you know, bamboozled a little bit, or I shouldn't say bamboozled, but we might have been, what we lost was an even better era if Venus had never been diagnosed with that autoimmune disease. And, you know, it's a shame that we haven't been able to see that because of what's going on. But it was a pleasure watching that match between the two sisters. It's been, what, over a decade since we've seen them compete in a major title, and it was a pleasure, it was an honor to see the historical match, because I'm not sure if we're going to see any more of those. And in terms of men's, Roger Federer, again, shocked that he made it. He's definitely outside his prime. Shocked that he made it. Shocked that he won. Shocked that he beat his arch nemesis in Nadal that he's had trouble beating all these years. And, you know, it was an honor to see him play. And with his 18 majors definitely being number one, and he's 4 in front of Pete Sampras and Nadal, 6 in front of Novak Djokovic, I'm not sure with Nadal and his knee problems and the way his body's breaking up if he's able to catch him. And Djokovic, he might catch him, but I don't see it. 6 titles, 6 majors, that's a lot to pick up on.
I completely agree with you. You know, both of these guys being out of their prime and still able to, you know, somewhat dominate a little bit in the sport of tennis. You know, this year Federer was ranked 17th. So for him to win the Australian was huge.
Unexpected.
Yeah, as a tennis fan. I kind of disagree with you a little bit. I don't think Nadal's going to catch him.
Mm-hmm. I never said he would.
I think he's going to win maybe a couple more titles. Mm-hmm. But the simple fact that Federer is still able to play, he might be able to capitalize on maybe one or two in the next 2 to 3 years before retiring.
I'm not sure if Federer really gets back to another major final. But, you know, what I was saying is that Nadal's body is deteriorating in such a way.
Breaking down a lot.
Especially his knees. Because of how hard he plays, and because his best court is on clay, and that's rough on your body. You know, I'm not sure if he's able to catch up and win 4 more major titles, especially with, you know, guys like Djokovic still out there, who's been in a lot of business anyway. So, you know, I mean, we'll see. I think Federer being an 18, I think he should be good, but, you know, you never know. All right? So, you know, I'm happy we were able to get Justin's topic in, because I know he was begging to talk about tennis last week, and we just didn't have enough time. But we're going to jump right back into the NBA, because we love the NBA, and baseball season hasn't started yet, and we already talked about football. It's one game. All right, so let's jump into the NBA, and let's talk about NBA trades. With the NBA trade deadline quickly and quietly creeping up on us, what trades would you guys like to see? Now, do you guys want me to go first?
Go first.
Oh, with pleasure. All right. All right. Now, the two trades that I have, I think if these trades were to go down, we're talking about a shift, not just in the East, but we're talking about a shift in the NBA. And we're talking about two teams that we're trying to be contenders that are up there but can't get over the hill. We're talking about now teams that are legitimate contenders to not only go through the Cavs, but go through Golden State, the Spurs, Clippers, or Grizzlies, whoever comes out the West, all right? So the first trade we're going to talk about is the Kings and Toronto. Now, DeMarcus Cousins and Matt Barnes traded to Toronto Raptors for Jonas Valanciunas and Terrence Ross. The trade satisfies the provisions of the collective bargaining agreement, and it would be able to go through. Now, I think if you're able to send DeMarcus Cousins over, able to keep DeRozan and Kyle Lowry, send Matt Barnes over there, veteran, knows how to play in the playoffs, plays knows what defense. To do, plays defense, shoots to three. I think if you add that, I'm not going to lie, losing Terrence Ross, you mean athletic wing, but what you get back in DeMarcus Cousins, you can't tell me that Toronto Raptors wouldn't be officially a contender for the championship, not just to get to the finals. All right? And the second trade I have is Chicago Bulls and the Boston Celtics. Now, Jimmy Butler, Taj Gibson for Amir Johnson, Jay Crowder, and Jonas Jerebko, along with the Brooklyn Nets guaranteed first-round pick in this year's draft. This trade also satisfies the provisions for the collective bargaining agreement, and the trade would also work out if you just wanted to trade Jimmy Butler for Jay Crowder and Amir Johnson. But I figured losing Amir Johnson, it would be nice if they could get back another big man. And Taj Gibson, I know the Bulls have been iffy about what they want to do with him, so if they could get him back, I'm not Taj Gibson, Al Horford at the 4 and the 5, Jimmy Butler, the IT man, Isaiah Thomas at the 1 and the 2. I don't know, man. Sorry. I'm forgetting about my man, Avery Bradley. So you got IT man, Avery Bradley, the 1 and 2, Jimmy Butler holding down the 3, and I think you got a legitimate title contender there also with Brad Stevens coaching the team.
I agree with that. I like those trades. I don't know if they're going
to
happen.
Oh, I mean, I don't know if they're going to happen. Those are trades I would like to see that can happen. They would be approved in the NBA if they were to go down. Salaries meet requirements with cap space or over the salary cap regulations according to the CBA. So if those could go down, man, we're talking drastic changes in what's going on with what happened in the finals. And then LeBron could talk about how he needed a playmaker. I don't understand then. Get that man a playmaker if those trades go down. Please. Please.
I agree with the trades in terms of it'll make a difference for the Boston Celtics.
You guys not supposed to be agreeing with my trades. Those are trades you like to see.
Oh, I don't care about your trades.
Yeah, I'm glad you guys like my trades. I mean, those are trades I'd like to see. But, you know.
I think it all depend on if they do happen. It would be great. Let's see if DeMarcus is in his contract year to see if he would sign with the Raptors. I think they'll only make that trade if he decides to say, okay, look, I'll sign with you guys.
That's true, but even DeMarcus going to Toronto, knowing, seeing what they're doing, seeing what they're doing with Dwayne Casey, and knowing that you have an all-star point guard and shooting guard he's never played with before, why would he want to leave? And I mean, it's the six. It's Drake.
That's why I think he would leave. I don't think he want to be in Canada.
Agreed.
All right. Secondly, I mean, is Sacramento that nice?
Sacramento's close to L.A.
I guess. You act like he got so much free time. Man, playing 10 months of the season. Well, 9. He don't make the playoffs, but you understand.
But, those trades, for me, are on the money in terms of financially working out for both teams. I think DeMarcus would kind of defer a little bit to some of those guys. I don't know if the chemistry would be just great. I think the chemistry will be great for Jimmy going to the Celtics. Young coach.
I think the chemistry would be fine on Toronto. I think Kyle Lowry's a guy that likes to pass first. I know he likes to put the ball in the basket too, but he has no issues distributing the ball, and neither does DeRozan. But, you know, in the Celtics' case, man, are you talking about Avery Bradley and Jimmy Butler locking up the wings? Talking about guys that can spread the floor in the 4 and 5, and then you're talking about Isaiah Thomas, second in scoring in the league. Do you guys have any trades that you like to see also? Or?
Yeah, my trades, I mean, they probably wouldn't work out financially, but...
It's okay.
I just want to see it. It's okay. Because I just think it would be cool. My first one is Jahlil Okafor and Ben Simmons to Milwaukee. Listen.
Go.
For Giannis Antetokounmpo. I think that would just be nice to see. Giannis and the process working together. Two young studs out here putting in work.
you wild. Word. Oh my God. Jahlil and Ben Simmons. Oh my gosh.
Because the Sixers is trying to get rid of one of those big men.
And they're not trying to get rid of Ben Simmons, that's for sure. I mean, if you get back Giannis, I mean, yeah, but I don't.
Exactly, because they're the same type of player. That's the only reason I say it. And you don't know what he could. You don't know what if he's going to pan out or not.
He's going to pan out, man. He's passing like magic.
You don't know that.
Sort of summer league.
You don't know that. That's summer league. That's not going against LeBron and Kevin Durant and all them players.
I understand, but I've never seen anyone pass the ball in summer league like that. All right.
That's summer league.
It was amazing.
That's baby food, blew, all right?
I know, and it still amazed me. I was like, wow. The man threw a full court bounce pass on the money. The man caught, his teammate caught it in stride and laid it up. It was the most amazing pass I've ever seen.
Let's hope he's doing that when he gets healthy.
He'll be back.
But I say you could do that because we already see what Giannis is doing. And if Ben Simmons pans out, they not losing anything in Milwaukee.
Why you want to see Greek Freak and The Process together so much?
Because I think they just be lighting people up, yo.
Well, I mean, Ben Simmons and The Process might be lighting people up too.
Yeah, but we don't know that yet. We know what Giannis going to do.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. That's interesting. You have another one? Or is it?
Yeah, I got another one. Also with DeMarcus Cousins. I would like to see him on the Lakers for Larry Nance Jr. or Mozgov. Throw them in there and probably throw in like Jordan Clarkson. Because I think DeMarcus Cousins.
I don't know if Sacramento is going to take that trade.
I don't think they would either. But this is something I'm just saying these are trades I would want to see.
Okay.
Because I would like to see Russell, Randall, DeMarcus Cousins.
That's interesting.
That's very interesting. Some of my trades.
Those are some NBA 2K trades you got.
Exactly. <I have. laughs> Some of my trades, in terms of Akeem mentioning Jahlil Okafor, seeing that the Sixers were so quick, are kind of quick to figure out their big man situation.
I disagree. They're not quick to figure it out at all.
Yeah, they're taking.
Do agree that they do have a big man situation.
Correct. I would simply say Jahlil to the Cavs, seeing that LeBron is BITCH.
For who? Wait. Talk about LeBron is BITCH and who?
In terms of, complaining.
Jahlil out of play. He needs a playmaker. He needs a playmaker.
Playmaker. Okay, well, I apologize.
All right, let me tell you.
To figure out the big man situation.
Who are you trading for him first?
Exactly.
I'm thinking maybe some draft picks first and second round next year.
Damn. I don't know if he's going to go for that. And the second thing is Jahlil Okafor is not a defender. Atal.
Yeah, all he is a post.
He's just a post big man.
I agree, but he's still a big body.
A big body to get yammed.
And obviously, it doesn't. They're already over the salary cap, so who cares now at this point?
Jahlil's on a rookie contract.
Dan Gilbert's wallet cares.
All right, fair enough. You're right.
Dan Gilbert might care too.
Another trade I was
the man is $40 million in the red since last season. But
agreed.
Another story.
Another trade. I was kind of looking at was a three-team trade. It would involve Clippers, Knicks,
You've been trying to move Melo
Nets
for months now, man.
Nets.
Go ahead. Say it. Say the names, man. It's been feeding to move this guy, Melo. Go ahead.
Obviously, the Clippers in need of...
of what?
A decent player.
Of a new conference to go to.
Of a decent player. You know what? I'm not disagreeing with your statement.
From a decent player, they got three. They need a new conference, man.
Right? You give up JJ.
I'm going to let you pick, but any trade that involves JJ just hurts them. He is the one that stretches that floor.
Well, you can't necessarily give up Crawford now.
I might.
Fair enough. I'm not disagreeing with you.
You giving up JJ before you give up Jamal Crawford?
Honestly, I don't think they would give up Crawford. I don't know, he's into offense.
I know he's into offense, but that was in years past. This year, he's not six man exactly. And JJ Redick, that boy's still shooting it, and he shoots it off the dribble too. He's doing what he has to do. But go ahead.
Possibly, right?
All
right,
so
what's your trade?
All right, so JJ Redick. Now keep it how you want it. JJ Redick.
JJ Redick. His son. What's his son's name?
Austin Rivers.
Austin Snaps.
Yes.
Austin Rivers. Okay.
Austin Rivers. And maybe a second round draft pick for Melo.
Man, that's a good draft pick. Hold that. for Melo.
The Nets.
All right, all right. Yeah, give the names. The Nets, what you want to throw in for the Nets? And then I'll ask you which player is going where.
No problem. The Nets would probably give up. That's a pretty.
What's your notes,
say
bro?
The names. Just say the
names. Your notes, man. Look at your notes, bro. Then that's who. Come on, brother. Let's go, brother. Come on, man.
The Nets would give up.
Jeremy Lin, Brooke Lopez. You want me to name some Nets players for you? Yeah, Nets
players. Sean Kilpatrick.
Brooke Lopez.
I guess give up Kilpatrick.
Oh, my
God. They can't necessarily give up drafts because they don't have none. They give it all to Boston.
Bro,
I didn't really...
Bro, what kind of research did you do?
I didn't really do that much.
Sloppy, bro.
Melo go Clippers.
We know that. Uh-huh.
Knicks would get
JJ. Let me just stop you right now.
Austin.
I really don't think this trade going to work.
It's not. It's not.
Let me ask you this question. Why don't you throw the Nets in there?
Because honestly,
you like Brooklyn, huh? Because you're a Brooklyn fan. You just got to be a homer, huh?
Yo,
what's wrong with Brooklyn Nets?
They suck.
They play hard, guys. They play hard. All right?
And they suck.
Guys, listen. Just so you know, that's what losers say. They play hard.
Damn, son.
Both teams played hard, my man.
They so mean, you know. They so mean.
Well, we know you're here just so you won't get fined after that kind of research you just put in.
My gosh.
Facts. So we're going to move on to the next topic because Justin was clearly messing up. But we're going to talk about this guy, IT4. For those of you that don't know, that's Isaiah Thomas, point guard for the Boston Celtics. He's been balling out of control this whole season. And for those of you who don't know, who just think he just popped up out of nowhere, he used to be on the Phoenix Suns, but before that, he was on the Sacramento Kings. The Sacramento Kings is the team with DeMarcus Cousins and Rudy Gay. Now, they gave him up, not thinking that he would be as good as he is now. So what if he stayed on that team? How would they be going? DeMarcus might actually make it to the playoffs, don't you think?
All right, let me get in on this, man, because you know, the Kings front office, I don't know what they're doing over there, man. I have no idea. All right, so let's go. Isaiah Thomas, the IT guy, as they like to call him now. All right, obviously in the MVP race, guys averaging. Well, first of all, let's go before we talk about MVP race. You know, you got to be doing something with your team. All right, so let's talk about team records. All right, 32-18, second place in the East. All right, how many of y'all saw Boston Celtics 32-18? I'll take the silence as no one. Okay, thank you. The two games behind last year's world champs, the team that needs a playmaker, two games, all right? He's averaging 29.9 points a game. That's good enough for second behind Mr. Triple-Double, Mr. Nah, I do what I want, Mr. How the hell am I not starting in the 2017 All-Star game over Steph Curry? Russell Westbrook.
About that, bro.
What happened?
You sound angry about that.
A little bit. A little bit. Mr. Russell Westbrook, all right, who tops the list at 30.8 points a game. Now, Isaiah Thomas is also leading the league in fourth quarter points at 10.5 points a game. Now, a guy 5'9", that's 5 feet 9 inches, that's impressive, man, all right? Now, a lot of people are going to tell you, and he likes to tell you that size isn't everything. That's true.
He's got a commercial about it.
Does he?
He does.
Oh, I mean, that's true in some cases, you know. I'm sure some girls beg to differ. But I just see with this guy, the way he's bowling, if you had been there with DeMarcus Cousins, you can't tell me that the two of them, Rudy Gay before the injury, we never know if you've got an injury, if IT was there, you never know, different scenarios. But I just think those guys could have got into, at least snuck into the eighth spot, especially with Durant leaving OKC, weakening them, the Blazers looking like trash. Well, we knew they were trash last year. Last year was an anomaly. But, you know, I just think they would have made it to the playoffs. What do you guys think?
I think they would have made it to the playoffs. I also don't think we should play the what-if game, though.
So it's our job to play the what-if game sometimes.
No, I don't
right?
want to play the what-if game.
We just
game,
played
right?
the what-if game with trades, and now we're playing the what-if game with Mr. IT. Right?
I don't want to play the what-if game, all right?
Because
we don't know if he would have been balling like this, because he probably wouldn't have had control over the ball. He would have just brought it up and passed it to DeMarcus Cousins.
Why y'all feel like DeMarcus Cousins is some type of ball hog, like he's Carmelo Anthony? He's not. Justin?
So
we just gonna allow him to call out Carmelo Anthony like that?
Yes!
No!
No, we're gonna,
yes!
We're, no! We're gonna allow him right? to call out Carmelo like that.
Yes!
Simply, I disagree with both of my cohorts. I'm not playing the what-ifs. I just said
I'm not playing the what-if.
Fair enough.
You just disagree with me. You agree with him.
Okay, I disagree. I disagree with Brandon in terms of, you know, we don't necessarily know if the Kings would make the playoffs. Yes, it's great to have the second best scorer in the league today. 28 points. Simply, I'm not basing it on that. I just feel like they're playing in a harder conference, the Western Conference. And there are a lot of good teams, a lot of good guards. simply, I just don't see it. I think him and DeMarcus would definitely bump heads in terms of shots.
They didn't bump heads before.
He wouldn't be averaging 28 points.
He would take less shots.
I swear, DeMarcus Cousins is a really He's not a team guy, not a coach guy, not a player guy.
I'm not basing it on that. I'm just simply saying, you know,
yeah. There's a stigma about him that I don't like. It needs to be corrected now.
What stigma? We know he's the best center in the game today. But the best center in the game today needs his 15 to 20 shots. And Isaiah Thomas is leading the Boston Celtics in shots taken.
Listen, you act like the man taking 30, 40 shots. He's not. But whatever. Nobody wants to play the what-if game. Even though we just played the what-if game with the trades, it's fine. On to the next topic. We are in the middle of the NBA season, so we're NBA topic heavy today. Maybe next week. Probably the final week. We don't know. Nobody came up with the schedule yet. But on to the next topic. Should we start looking at the Washington Wizards as a legitimate contender to get out of the Eastern Conference?
Absolutely not.
Wow.
Let's hear
it. Whose man is this, man?
As long as that man number 23 is still holding it down.
The guy who needs a playmaker, that guy.
Yes, the guy who needs a playmaker.
We
don't even need to call his name.
He sounds like a LeBron hater guy.
We don't even need to call
Kobe's
his
better!
Name. I always need Kobe's to retired!
I always need that to be confirmed, but continue, please.
So, as long as that man number 23 is still putting on a jersey every night.
Kobe got 5 rings, huh?
What does that have to do with anything?
I'm sorry.
That has nothing to do with anything.
I just blurted that out, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
That's my bad.
You did. We're not even talking about the Lakers.
All right, just go.
We're talking about Washington.
The man number 23, Mr. I need the playmaker. As long as
that man is still in the East, mm-hmm. That man is coming out the East. Enough said.
A lot of trades happen, but continue. Go ahead, Jay.
I think Wizards are in consideration. I don't necessarily think they're going to get out the East. Yes, I agree with Akeem. You have to go to number 23, who made it to 6.
Soon to be 7.
Soon to be 7.
Y'all chatting, man. Conference
Championship.
Yo,
let me talk. All right? I agree.
That man, excuse his tone.
Excuse your tone, sir!
And yes, in the last 2 months, the Wizards are 23-4. Agreed. They do have the best record in the last couple months. They do deserve that notice in terms of we're here. What, they're fourth in the East?
Yo, let me read off some stats for you because Akeem chatting. You consider them to be a contender, Jay?
I consider them in the conversation, yes.
All right, I mean, we're not saying...
In the East.
Oh, sorry. Well, how many names does a guy have? Rico? Sorry, Rico. Apologize. Akeem, Rico, whatever. Listen, I'm not saying that they're going to come out the East. I'm just saying they're contender to come out the East. Washington Wizards. Let me give you some stats real quick, all right? Currently on a 17-game home winning streak. They're now 30-20 and currently sitting in the third spot in the East at 26. They have a 22-6 record at home. It's great to be in the Verizon Center as of late. I got to say, I might have to go down to see a game. Probably not. But it's a shame that they can't play all their games there because away from the Verizon Center, they're measly 8-14 on the road, which is by far the worst road record for any team at least 9 games over 500. But maybe they're changing for the better. They're riding a 7-game win streak right now that includes away and home games and are 9-1 out of the last 10 games. So maybe they're turning over a new leaf when it comes to winning on the road because we already know they can win at home. With the Cleveland Cavaliers coming into Verizon Center on Monday the 6th of February, this will be a good measuring stick for them and myself and Justin to see if it's time to start talking about them being an official contender or just stupid opinion of ours. And we're supposed to be looking at the team being given the correct opinion. Now, something quick I also have here is that do you think it's time to start talking about Scott Brooks and how shocked we are about his coaching job?
Okay.
surprise question there.
I always thought Scott Brooks was a decent head coach. He got the Thunder winning years after years after years. It was little by little.
They plateaued under him though, man.
Agreed. But I don't think it's the coach's fault all the way. I think yes, the coaches deserve a certain percentage in terms of why the team hasn't gotten over the hump, but they made it to the finals.
I mean, I'm looking at him in a new light with what he's doing with the Wizards, because they started out the season 2-8, and we didn't think they were even going to make the playoffs. I know I didn't have them in the playoffs earlier, preseason predictions for playoff teams in the East. So the fact that he has them at the record they are now, at 30-20, I'm in shock, because they didn't look like they were going to be doing that. But Bradley Beal's been healthy, John Wall's looked amazing, and Otto Porter's come out of nowhere from when he's on Shaq and the Fool 2-3 years ago trying to play defense against the air. But, you know, Scott Brooks, I'm going to look at him in a new light. I didn't respect his coaching job and what he did for the OKC Thunder. But maybe I should take into consideration that it's hard to coach Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant, apparently. But, I mean, Billy Donovan seemed to be able to come pretty close to doing the great job last year. But I'm going to give Scott Brooks credit for what he's doing with this Washington team, because I thought the hire was a reach in the offseason, because I thought they were trying to get Kevin Durant to come to his hometown Washington Wizards. And they hired Scott Brooks thinking that they could have some emotional attachment to bring him there. And obviously, everyone except for the Wizards front office knew that wasn't going to work. And it didn't work. But Scott Brooks has proven that he might have been the correct hire after all. Rico, you have anything to say, bro?
Nope.
Not about that. You don't care about Scott Brooks?
Nope.
Okay, that's cool.
And just like I don't care about the Washington Wizards on this winning streak.
Okay.
You know what I think about the Washington Wizards on this winning streak? You know what they remind me of? Y'all remember when Houston rang off like 22 games straight or whatever?
Okay.
And then they did nothing? Mm-hmm. That's what I think Washington's going to do. Ring off a long win streak and then do nothing when it's time to do something in the playoffs.
I mean, We're going to find out.
We will.
We're going to find out. And we're going to find out how much further they can move in the ranking. All right? Well, that comes to the end of our topics for episode 2 of Excuse My Tone. I think we had a great show, fellas.
I agree.
We'd like to thank all the listeners for...
Thank you.
...listening, staying with us. We definitely kept it shorter this time.
Thank you.
46 minutes and counting. Last week was way too long, and we're going to try to keep it around this time, not to get you guys bored, even though we have a plethora of information and opinions for you that we just want to get out to you guys, all right? I'd also like to thank Zane Taylor, our underdog for this episode, giving us stats that we need to look up quickly for fact checks and giving us our times and how long we need to be staying on the topic. So really appreciate that, and we'll look forward for you guys tuning in next week, all right? Thanks, man.